Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 301. This is the show where we talk about Android applications. We bring a bunch of apps. We've got a bunch of guys on the show bringing those apps. And the whole goal is to help you guys discover some new cool things to do with your Android phones and devices and such. So hopefully you got some cool stuff for Christmas and the holidays. And hopefully, on top of that, if you listen to us, you'll know what to put on it. And if you are new to this show, go listen to as many back episodes as you possibly can. We've reviewed probably, what, 2,500 apps at this point?
Oh, and we're over that.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And you're going to find some gems in there, and you're going to find stuff on your phones that you won't know what you could possibly have lived without before that point.
It is very, very close to 3,000.
Oh, my gosh. That crept up on us. That's amazing. Alrighty, well, let's get into the apps, or let me introduce the co-host, and we'll get into some apps, starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Howdy, Steve.
Howdy there, partner.
You doing good there in the South?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic.
That's fantastic. And this time of year, I know weather is not a problem for you, but I will say, surprisingly, it's not a problem for me either yet. It's been unbelievably mild. Christmas Day, I went out in a t-shirt.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's very good. Very good. Cool, man. Speaking of down here in the South, I recently moved to a little closer to the beach. I'm like 10 minutes away from Clearwater Beach now. I just went over there for the first time tonight and just watched a beautiful sunset. It really is therapeutic to just look out at all that space and just see the water and nothing else, and like no buildings, no grass, no concrete, no crap, no crime, just like look out at the water and just have that space. So I think I'm gonna be going over there a lot and just chilling. Yeah, I'm psyched. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Hey, 301. What? One? Somebody won this mug. I've been waiting 282 episodes to do that.
All right. So you're giving away a mug, huh?
Yeah, who wins this mug?
All right. The winner of the mug is Justin Sommermeyer. Congratulations, Justin. Eric has an Android App Addicts mug he's gonna ship you. Just send an email to AAA@podnuts.com with your address, and we're gonna ship you out a mug. Thank you for being part of the AAA Club. If anybody else wants to join the contests and the festivities, just go to podnuts.com/AAA Club. You're entered into the contests for life. So that's all you got to do.
I'd also like to quickly thank Joe for donating the mug to the AAA Club to give away.
Absolutely. Joe Hecht is the donator of such mugs that we've been giving away. He cranks them out for us, and we love him for that. He's got a very cool project coming down the pike. As soon as that baby is ready to be released, we're going to be talking all about it. So thanks, Joe.
I got one more thing from Joe, too. This, I think he made this for when I am on the road podcasting from my hotel room. It's an Android App Addicts door hanger.
What does it say on it?
It says, on one side it says, please do not disturb. And it's got the Android App Addicts logo at the bottom. And on the other side it says, wake up service, please. With the Android App Addicts service. I'm not sure what wake up service is. I guess I'll find out.
I hope it's pleasant. Oh, that's funny. Also joining us, Cody Cooper, host of Linux for the Rest of Us, and all around cool dude. What's going on, Cody?
Hey guys, I'm doing great.
Yeah, you sound like it.
Oh man. It's been a long week. It's nice to finally cut loose, hang out with my boys with my umbrellas, and to be here and just have a good time. And we just got over 300. We had a few drinks after episode 300. I'm still reeling from that.
Yeah, and that was 2 days ago, man.
Man, that was well.
It's a bender.
Irish boys take a while to sober up.
Well, it's good having you on, Cody.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, this is an episode we're gonna be hitting you guys with apps rapid fire.
Ooh.
So we got a ton of apps to talk about. Let's start with Cody, and we're just gonna empty whatever you got in the tank there, Cody. Just let us have.
Oh man, okay. So okay, real quick, right off the bat, I have to reach into the Android app attic which is a fantastic thing to bring back instead of that regurgitation garbage. Dude, okay, this was brought up fairly recently, the game Barrier. Oh, dude. If you guys haven't tried it yet, Barrier, I think it was brought up on episode 282 or 286. It is a fantastic... It is just ridiculously difficult. One of the most insane hard games I've ever played in my life. And it's one of those great... Okay, when you think of an Android game that you want to play for a little bit of time, you're thinking of those little pockets of time, like I'm in line at the bank, or I'm at the stoplight, or I'm you're wherever with the you're waiting in line at the grocery store or something. This game, literally, you can play for less than 60 seconds and have your heart rate jacked up so high you're so angry. I have never screamed at the inside windshield of my car more rather than playing this game. Parked out in the parking lot on my break, just yelling all sorts of awful things, but it's so fun. Barrier, definitely check it out. It's fantastic.
I remember this game. This is a game where we thought the developers accidentally sped it up and realized the game was 10 times better at nuclear speeds.
Yeah.
And kept it that way.
It's so fun. Last episode I was talking about Mega Man. Like, I love just hard, difficult games that require not only skill, but a little bit of reaction time, right? And man, if you're talking about reaction time, it's one of the most difficult games when it comes to reaction time and improvising and being random, and it's just so fun.
I would get so tense playing this, I'm afraid.
Oh, dude, it is, man. You're just like on, like, I think the longest I've gone is 29 seconds, almost at 30. Once you hit 30 seconds, you get to the next kind of level. I still have yet to hit it. But man, once you get beyond 10 or 15 seconds, you're just like yelling through your teeth, like, you son of a dude, you come on, let's do it. Yeah, it was really, really good. Love it. Barrier, awesome. Very good. Okay, so another one. Let's say Steve, you live in a new neighborhood. You just moved into your new place. Door, you've been living in your house for a number of years, correct?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Eric, you being the mayor, you live in a good community with a bunch of people probably around you that you know and or trust. So at least for two out of three ain't bad. So this app would be good for you. And then, of course, some of the listeners as well. It's called Next Door. So this app, think of it as a private social network for your local neighbors and or neighborhood. And there are a number of reasons why you would want to use this app. For instance, think of it almost like a digital neighborhood watch. Like, you can communicate and get the word out about a break-in, maybe about a lost pet, create, crime watches, maybe reach out for a babysitter. For instance, I know I've had to try to find people to watch my kids, and you want to have someone trustworthy, you know. So being able to reach out to your local community, and by local, I mean within a few blocks of your home, would be preferable, hopefully. There's a number of great reasons to use this application, and basically you and your neighbors would download it, create your own private sort of social network to communicate between each other. And I think that for certain neighborhoods and certain groups of people, this would be a worthwhile application. Not necessarily for me, because I've pissed off and I hate all my neighbors. They're a bunch of mean people. They don't like me. I don't like them. I could probably ask them to install this app. They won't do it. Either that or they're too old to understand what technology is. So it's not going to work for me. Therefore, I can't give you the best use case scenario. So by all means, check out Next Door, all one word. Check it out if you have some good things to say about it. It has a 4.3 rating with almost 8,000 ratings on Google Play. Oh, so not bad, not bad.
It says that I have it installed, but I don't remember ever using this.
I love the idea for this app. I think this is so friggin' smart. If you don't want to friend your neighbors on Facebook and stuff and have them mixed in with all the other, this is just for your community. I love how it's like you have this kind of segregated thing, and they show examples of like, you want to borrow a ladder from one of your neighbors. It's like,
yeah,
you don't have to message them on Facebook. You just use this. I think it's really, really cool, man. I like this a lot.
If anything, it would be a great gossip engine.
That's Facebook. We got that.
Did you see what Cheryl was wearing when walking her dog the other morning? Oh my Lord. I didn't know a flower pattern could be that. I think I'm on fire looking, but wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like I said, my neighbors are jerks. I'm never going to.
Well, Cody, I say, well, first off, I say join. Go ahead and download the app and join it. Just give yourself a fake name. Call yourself, you know, George Tingles or something like that.
Who knows? Maybe everybody in my neighborhood might be using this. I should just create like an address that doesn't exist, and then I could start talking smack about me, like trying to get everybody against me. But then it would be like a ruse.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'd be waiting there in the garage with the fire hose. Who knows? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Next door. And you guys have anything else to say about this?
Well, yeah.
No.
And I'll say the word I'll use for this is a word I'm directly stealing from Jeff Jarvis, who is a journalist who I really can't stand. But he, I think, made this word up, and I think it's very apropos. It's a hyper-local application. Hyper-local, I think, is a definite niche in the future. That's going to be more and more popular. This is like the essence of hyper local connection, social connection. So I'm already installed. I'm now signing in, creating my account.
Well, you're going to see more, and I agree with him. You're going to see more applications like this because if you think of it, using technology is becoming more, not necessarily more of a necessity, which it has been for years, but it's also becoming, there's a need for it to become more intimate and personal. And if you think of, commerce, you know, you think of the phrase keeping it local or buying local, you know, like I would rather go down to, the produce stand, you know, down in the grocery store parking lot who I know that the guy runs the local farm rather than go buy the produce from the grocery store because I know that I'm supporting a local business and he's doing good with it and helping the community. Whereas with this, as opposed to, reaching out for some sort of national service with which to register for whatever, you know, you're going to have these applications that can become local, or in this case, hyper-local, to reach out to people in your area to either accomplish goals or to create solutions to tasks together.
Right. Well, okay, so you did not install this.
No, okay. There's no point for me to install. My neighbors are jerks.
This literally scares me a little bit. They say, here are... Because I first thought, well, I could put in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., if I wanted to, and just say I'm next-door neighbors with Barack Obama. But it says, verify address. Here are your three free and secure verification options with free and secure bolded. Number one, verify by credit debit card. I don't want to do that. Their third one, verify by social security number. They asked for the last four digits. I don't trust it either. The middle option is verify by phone. I'm on a podcast right now. Wipe upstairs. I'm not verifying by phone. Not right now. So I might try that later.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not giving anybody on the face of the planet. I didn't want to give my job my soul. You know what I mean? That's how much I don't want to give my
number out. So no way. No.
So that makes no sense. Yeah. So I'm gonna validate later. But I love
use at your own risk. Be wary. Yeah. Totally.
Next.
Okay. Yes. Next. This is, well, I have a bunch more. I'm going to cut it short at this. This is one of the best apps I've come across yet, but the caveat is it's in beta. As good as it sounds, it's not quite there yet. It's going to be there soon. I promise, based on their promises. It's an app called Bitlit. Now, I know the door has probably run more miles in his life than books he's read. Okay.
That ain't hard.
Door's not a reader. Some of you other folks are readers. So let's say you are a reader. Now in the modern day, one of the dilemmas when we go to buy a new book is, should I buy a physical or should I buy a digital? There are pros and cons to both. One of the major ones is cost. Of course, digital being cheaper in most cases, but then you're reading studies saying that information retention is better in physical because you can flip back to the page and remember the part of the page that you read it on. Therefore, it's more of a cognitive link to recalling, and not necessarily research or like information material, but even that story. Oh, that character said this one thing that's important, and it was around this page. I know it was on the left page versus the right page, about a third of the way down, versus digital and ebooks. It's hard to remember that stuff. Okay, there's arguments for both. But what if you could register the physical books that you own with a source and then download for free or severely reduced cost digital versions of those same books? That sounds appealing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's exactly what this does. Now, they only have a limited number of publishers linked in with their service at this time, hoping to gain some of the bigger ones by the end of the year.
Because how do they prove that you have the book?
Here's the thing. You take what's called a shelfie. A shelfie photo. So
it doesn't matter how you got the book.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so you take a photo of a shelf of books, it recognizes the spine of the book, and it then references it to their database of books, and if they have it available, you can either download it for free or reduced cost. That way you can have both the physical and the digital copy able to read at any time you want. Now, I can say that with the books I've been reading lately, I would try to keep two or three on hand at a time. I kind of try to juggle them. If I were to carry the physical versions of those around, it would be quite a big deal because they are larger books. But having the digital versions is also nice, but my user case and my schedule and the way I read is completely different from everybody else on the planet. I'm sure you all have your own way of doing it. So all this does is create more options for you so that you don't have to choose between A and B. You can have both at a reduced and or free or zero cost. And I have a feeling this is going to pick up because it's not that they're cannibalizing potential sales of physical or digital. It's that middle road that's going to suit the customer that is on the fence, saying because it's more of a safe play for the consumer, saying, well, if I buy this and I can get this, then it's better. So I'm going to do both. Even if it's
Have you had any of your books get scanned in?
I scanned two shelves, probably 60 books. I had 17 of them come up.
Nice. Now, yeah. Is there some kind of circuitry or something that keeps like a library shelf from being scanned? Like if it sees library labels on the spines of books, it won't do it?
By God, I'll find out.
I
don't know, to be honest with you. But no, I had a couple book shelves on one of our bookcases in our bedroom. Over half of them were graphic novels. None of those came out because they were, you know, Marvel, DC, Vertigo, that type of stuff. But most of the books that came up were already free digital versions of them available elsewhere. But I knew that because I dug around for them already. For that reader that has the big book collection that wants to have some digital versions to maybe dip their toe in to start to use Aldeco or Kindle Books or Google Play Books and thinks, do I have to invest a lot of money in doing this already? Oh, wait, I can already get some digital versions of the books that I already own and try it that way. So I do feel that it's going to be one of the kind of convergence applications where it's going to tap into that market of that doesn't quite exist yet, because either you have bought digital or you haven't, but it doesn't need to be exclusive to either or. You need to buy only physical or digital. This is going to get that middle ground and get more people to experiment with digital, which is not a bad thing at all, at a reduced or no cost whatsoever.
The 17 out of 60 doesn't sound bad for a beginning app to me. That
sounds... yeah, but then again, I mean, it's going to be completely, you know, based upon what kind of books you read, obviously, what kind of titles you have. But it's a free application. I don't believe it had that. And there are in-app purchases, which I haven't taken advantage of yet. To be honest, I can't even remember what they are off the top of my head. But the if you go to the website, they're basically committing to, and they do have, they are in the middle of talks with some other developers. It doesn't have the best score on Google Play, but a lot of it is negative, basically saying my books weren't on here. It's like, yes, but it's one, it would be one thing for them to say all books are available and then have them not, whereas up front they're saying, you know what, we're in beta. It's clearly listed as beta, saying we don't have all the publishers on board yet. We're working toward them. We're in talks with this one, and that one. So please, by all means, try it as it is now. If you like it, know that the experience is going to be better soon and that more are on the way.
Cool. Very cool, man.
I've got one I want to try it with because, you know, the first thing I do when I buy a book, I'll go to Audible first and then Kindle or, you know, Google Play or something second. But and then to me it doesn't matter if it's not Audible, then whatever's cheaper, either the book, mm-hmm. or the digital version, I don't care. Physical or digital is the same for me.
It's a cool app, Cody.
Thank you.
Fine. Yeah, is that it for your tank?
Dude, I have a bunch more, but honestly I'm gonna save them for episode 400.
I'm sure they'll be very relevant by then.
Oh, trust me, they will. And knowing you guys, you will never mention any of these apps.
Oh, no.
Probably never. Right. I definitely won't.
Not in 100 episodes will you guys ever, ever mention these apps.
Evernote.
Ah, man.
All right.
Wow.
Eric, you're up. Yes. What do you got in the tank?
All right. Cody was talking about Hyperlocal. Was that how you said it, Dor?
Yeah.
Dor mentioned it. I solidified it, yeah.
I've got one that kind of fits that description, too. This one, unfortunately, I think every time Hyperlocal comes up, I always say, well, it doesn't really work here because there's only 11 people who... Oh, okay. I thought he was stopping me. There's only 11 people who live here with me and have Android phones with connections. This one's called 5 Miles. Your mobile marketplace. It's basically kind of like a Craigslist, but even more local, like neighborhoodish rather than big town. And I installed it. It didn't really ask me where I was from or anything like that. It knew, you know, it used location based. And then everything was over an hour away from me that I could find for sale on it. So that's probably good for people who live in bigger communities.
It's pretty interesting, too.
My next thing I want to bring to the tank is a recent purchase of this $1.99 do-it-yourself cardboard virtual reality 3D glasses. Basically, it is a $2 with free shipping version of the Google Cardboard, and I got to use it over the weekend. I got it just before Christmas. It took a while to ship because it came from China, but I want to just tell everybody how very, very cool that this thing is.
So it worked?
It does. It works so, so well. Much better than I had anticipated. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with my Note 4 because my Note 4 is physically too large to even fit in the cardboard. So I use my S3 that I still had kind of laying around.
Yeah.
And it works. It works, you know, it's maybe a little laggier on some things. Not much, though. It's still very, very impressive, and I showed it to everybody. I had 2 Christmas parties here at the house, one Christmas Eve, one Christmas Day. Showed it to everybody who came, and everybody had the same reaction of just, whoa.
So here's my question, Eric. Did this come with a magnet?
This one didn't, but
okay.
As it turns out, you don't have to have the magnet.
Well,
you only have to have the magnet for the Google Cardboard app, which I'm putting in the...
Right.
In the... Yeah. Well, so the Google Cardboard app, it's... Oh, go ahead.
No. Well, then I was going to ask you, if it doesn't come with the magnet, what app were you using to showcase it?
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, the Google Cardboard app's there. If you don't have a magnet, which I did, I was able to do. I have a canning magnet, which is basically a big, long magnet on a stick that you use to pick up can lids when you're canning or whatever. So you can use different magnets. But you don't have to. So that's the Cardboard app. And... roller coaster simulations are pretty neat on this thing. So the first one I'm going to bring is called VR Roller Coaster. And I think this is probably the best first app, you know, like dip your toes into it to show it off to your friends, is this VR Roller Coaster. by Frag. And then there's also unfortunately, I don't have the link for the one I really want to tell you about now. But
so when you turn your head, it actually changes the view.
Yeah, yeah. You look up. You like for some reason that VR roller coaster, they dropped it right in the middle of a city. So if you look up, you'll see like the tops of skyscrapers and then like a blimps flying around, pigeons flying around. You look down, you see parking lots with cars and people and things. it's neat. And then this other roller coaster VR by Fibrom. This is the second one I put in here. And this is a roller coaster. It's built like on the side of a mountain that goes really super high. But I mean, like my mother-in-law, you know, she's like, I could feel it in my stomach when I went over the hill, you know, and stuff like this. It's wow. That it's that much of a thing. It's just neat. There's an app called Orbulus for cardboard VR by VR Craftworks Limited. This is basically, you know, some phones have the option of taking a shot in 360 degrees with your phone, and you make like like an orb out of it, and people can look at it. This basically puts you sitting in different places around the world. Some of the nicer looking ones that have been made by different photographers. But there's a zombie shooter game. I'm gonna see if I can find it real quick. It's a zombie shooter game that's really fun on the cardboard. And you don't really have to use the. I thought, well, shoot, the zombie shooter game, you're gonna have to use the magnet to shoot or something. Basically, you just fix your eyes on the zombie, and you'll have like a crosshairs, and then that's how you shoot them. and it's really cool because they're coming up behind you and stuff. You got to turn around. I just want to get the name of it right so people can find it. But it was a lot more fun. And then like when you level up, I guess when you level up, you get to choose a different gun. You just kind of focus your eyes on that gun, and it'll pick it out for you. And it's called Zombie Shooter VR, and it's also by Fibrom. So Fibrom must be big in the cardboard arena.
Right. Zombie Shooter.
I put it in the chat there. But that's my first, you know, first weekend with it. Those are some of the highlights of what I found with it.
And it works good, huh?
I'm impressed, yes. Even running on the S3 hardware, it's impressive.
I would love to see some of those roller coasters, man. You got me psyched now.
The only downfall is, other than the magnet being not included with this kit, and it makes me really want to get that VR from Samsung for the Note 4. And I also, another thing I didn't do is plug headphones in, because you can really increase your experience, I think, with headphones and this thing on.
Sure.
But it does get a lot of forehead and nose grease onto the cardboard. And I know the original one has a magnet, and it also has plastic there where your forehead would hit it. That's a little unappealing looking, you know, after a while, after, you know, 25 people have all put it on their face.
And I'm Italian, man. Now I get grease pouring out of my nose like a slice of pizza.
just wear a ski mask, man.
A ski mask.
Problem solved. You're welcome.
Well, Eric, you should do a giveaway of cardboard and pick me as the random winner.
You want my greasy cardboard? No, if you, I'll send it down to you. I don't know if it'll make the trip very well though. Now that it's all assembled,
I'll buy my own from China.
Yeah, you probably don't want my greasy cardboard. Okay, so my next app is InstaWeather. You're gonna love this, Steve Cherubino. This is an app where
I can't wait.
Yeah, you install this, and this is Instagram and a weather app put together. So basically, you can set up your home screen to have the weather different ways, like a weather channel would have, like the 7-day forecast or cloudy and 32 degrees or, you know, whatever. And then you take a picture of the weather and share it with your friends. Like, so you take a picture of outside or yourself sitting at, you know, the beach down there, and you could say, I'm at Clearwater Beach, it's 78 degrees and sunny, and it takes a picture of your feet as you're, you know, pointing out towards the ocean, stuff like that.
What a great idea.
I don't know if Steve needs this app. He's like, it's gonna be sunny, right? Yep. All right, okay, let's go.
I'm looking forward to his tweets and everything with this app.
his notifications. 109th day in a row, son.
You know what? I'm going to save the rest of mine for the next show. Because they're games anyway.
Awesome, man. Good stuff. I'm liking this show so far. All right, Dor, you want to finish us off here?
Okay. First, I want to bring... I literally cannot remember who teased me with it, but as soon as I saw it, I knew this is feeding a unholy desire I have in my brain. It's called Geek Dash Smarter Shopping. Just a quick, for instance, I'm going to put a link also in the chat. It's called Dude, I Want That. I think of these as being very similar kinds of things. Dude, I Want That just list stupid, ridiculous things that you could buy, where one out of every X number of items, you'll say, that's cool.
Or you'll say, dude, I'm
right. This is kind of like that, but that, okay, here's the thing. 99.999% of the things listed on here, you can get probably cheaper off of podcast.com/Amazon or whatever site. And some of the things on here is just complete garbage, like thumb magnetic, big toe magnetic rings to improve your health.
Is that the Dude I Want That or the geek one?
Geek one. But it also has lots of different, I'll say, headphone options, survival gadget gear kind of options, a lot of phone cases kind of options, where I don't think any of them are fantastic, super insane high quality things. I think most of them are average quality kind of thing, but they are on sale, a good amount of them. And some of the sales where I did compare it versus Amazon.com, they were very comparable, or a couple cents cheaper, a couple cents more expensive. So I'm using this app as just a leisurely discover different kind of thing apps. Just packed to the rim. And I will say, unfortunately, you have different people posting the same thing. So you'll literally see it here for $3, here for $2.50 if you scroll down far enough. But you'll see all kinds of stuff, from watches, camera type gear, phone type gear, headphone type gear, wide plethora, I'll say, of categories that you can just browse through, and seemingly never ending browse through.
Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah. And I lost some time in it. I'll say that. next up, okay, that was called Geek Dash Smarter Shopper, which I don't know how smart it is, but you know, this next two apps are games. I'm going to try to get working on the game stick and using that app TinCore, TinCore, see if I can get it worked right. The first one is called, both of these I'll say, I don't know, because these look pretty demanding. First one is Modern Combat 5 Blackout, right now on sale, I believe, for like 75 cents. One of these games that just look phenomenal. So if this works even moderately good to good on the game stick, I'm going to be unbelievably happy, because this looks really difficult to render fast and smooth.
I'll
say that.
Yeah, it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of the first-person shooters they have on Android now are just amazing. I mean, almost on par with some of the console stuff. And much like earlier when I was talking about a couple episodes ago about the racer games being very system-intensive as far as keeping the environment going and trying to avoid lag and choppiness wherever possible, the first-person shooters, they are even more difficult to do that. And the Modern Combat series... that Nova series, yeah, or ones that come to mind that do it very well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was called Modern Combat 5. There's more than a couple of them. Blackout. Modern Combat 5 Blackout. This is another one of those first-person shooters. This has a lineage, I know, of it's called Deus Ex The Fall. I did play a little bit of Deus Ex, maybe a couple hours back on, I guess it was Windows, I don't know. But I will say this is another one where if it can keep up with the demands of the game, I'm going to be unbelievably happy with the game stick, because this looks really fast action, hard shooter, first person type game.
Yeah, it does. Screenshots look cool.
Yeah.
Is that the Deus Ex?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Is that the game you're talking
about? I always call it Deus Ex.
Yeah, it's Deus Ex here, man.
Say it. Beer is in the show.
Say it again.
Users. Well,
pardon me while I burst into flames.
We use our speeders to play the Deus Ex.
Say it again, Cody. The name of the game?
Deus Ex.
Deus Ex. Okay, Deus Ex. If I say it a couple times, I think I'll actually get it.
Do you even deuce, bro?
Exactly. Deus Ex The Fall. And I'll say the first game, Modern Combat, was by Gameloft. Gameloft, big on the Android world. Second one by Square Enix. Need I say more Square Enix?
Yep.
Okay, this...
Whenever you say Square Enix, I think of $10 or more.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, and I can't remember how much Deus Ex is.
99 cents.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, we didn't get any of those Cody games, did we?
Here we go.
You've standardized the measurement of money for them.
Here's what I scream at my podcast player whenever I hear that, though. I, even though I'm me and I'm a gentleman, and I brought one game that cost $25, I still do not hold the record for the most expensive application brought to this show.
That's a good trivia question. I have no clue, dude.
It's a dictionary, wasn't it?
No, it was something Steve brought. It was a music player. It was like $89.
I brought it?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I was thinking it was a dictionary or like...
I wouldn't have guessed that either.
A body, an atlas to the human body or something.
Yeah, but here's the thing. No one else in the history of the show has a unit of monetary measurement named after them. So for that, I'm grateful.
You should be. That's an accomplishment.
I am. And thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Dory, you're up. I mean, continue.
Okay, now this next game I'm bringing is because the game Goddess, G-O-D-U-S, perturbed me off a lot. Not just because of the reset aspect of it, but it just did. Now, I then installed SimCity Build It. I thought there was a more classic SimCity on Android, but apparently it was maybe on the emulator. So I got this one, SimCity Build It, and I quit playing this game for the exact same reason I quit playing Goddess. I don't like the fact they basically start to penalize you for something that did not exist before. And what I mean by that is you start the game, you build a road, you build houses. Okay. Then, of course, you need to build power. Obviously, you always need power in SimCity, so you build a power plant, okay? Then after building enough houses, people start to complain about water. Then you build more houses, then people start to complain about the fire department. Then you build a couple more houses, then people start to complain about sanitation. Then you build a couple more houses, then people start to complain about the police department. So every time you succeed and do better, the people complain about more stuff, and it requires you to do more things that you didn't plan for ahead of time. So it basically penalizes you and burdens you more the more successful you are. And I think that's a horrible methodology to have in a game of this type. But apparently, two pretty popular ones, Goddess and SimCity, both follow the same pattern.
Yeah, but like that's reality. The way SimCity's been forever.
No,
right?
No. Old SimCity, you had roads. The only problem that would develop over time was you would need to build another power plant because you're using too much power, or you would have to build better streets or a train system into it. Stuff like sanitation or water or that stuff was always needed from the very first building you put up. It didn't suddenly develop into a problem.
Well, but here's the thing, though, and one of the first games that I can remember that really took advantage of this sort of game style mechanic was it was either Roller Coaster Tycoon or the Theme Park Builder, because at that point in time, it made you consider, oh, what do the imaginary people in this world I'm creating actually thinking about it?
Well,
how is it actually functioning? Is it in the case of like the real world sim, you know, are there enough fire stations to go around if there was a fire to break out at A, B, and C? Is this ride worth paying money for to go on? So on and so forth. So it made it more of a real simulation.
Well, the first roller coaster tycoon I played, everything existed always. It's just a question of how important did a thing become? Like, are your bathrooms close enough to your ride kind of thing? But that always existed. It just became more important as time went on, where this one was blindsiding me with new things that did not exist beforehand. Before they started complaining about sanitation, what did everybody do? Put their crap in a bucket out front of their house? I don't know.
I can understand that, being blindsided by criticism. You're like, great, I appreciate these two things, but now we have these five new concerns.
Right. So, and I was getting to like the game, and that's why I'm so mad at both of them. I was beginning to really like that ebb and flow I was experiencing in the game, and then they throw wrenches in it, you know?
So what did you do? Just like slaughter everyone?
No, I just uninstalled the game. But as I was playing it, I was really liking it. And then it just got to a point where I said, no, you know, it. And here's the thing. They both did the same thing of, well, you have cash, but you have coins. You can use coins to do these certain things, but then to do these really big things, you need to pay with cash. And both of them were very limited. Like every year or whenever cycle would happen in my taxes, I was literally getting 25, where things were costing 3,000 and 6,000. I was getting 25 in taxes. So they were basically telling you, okay, you need to either A, not enjoy this game as much as you're enjoying it, aka don't play it as much as you're playing it, or you need to give us money so you can really enjoy it more. I mean, they would always offer, well, you can buy more coins if you would like to. No, I don't. I just want to play.
Has the South Park analysis of the free-to-play model been mentioned on this show?
No, it hasn't, but it is unbelievably accurate.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, just go on YouTube, Steve, when you have a moment. We can even put this in the show notes, but if you search for South Park free-to-play, in less than 2 minutes, they break down the free-to-play game model in such a way where, for those of you who may not have understood exactly how it works, like the curtain is pulled back and you're just like, oh, of course I'm being manipulated into throwing money into this in order to have the quote-unquote full experience. And yeah, it's wow. I'll say this, and Steve, Dor, you know me. All three of you know me pretty well when it comes to this game. Watching that 2 minutes on South Park got me off of playing Battle Cats.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hmm. It's amazing.
I love South Park. Haven't played it since.
Yeah, I mean, I basically don't care what the game is. I am never, and even with applications, never doing an in-app purchase unless it's a one-time only in-app purchase for a permanent upgrade to the application. I'm never going to give my money away for quote-unquote digital goods. I'm not going to pay money for coins to spend in a game.
Well, yeah. See, here's the thing, though. I realize that some of those free-to-play games are ad-supported, but at the end of the day, like, I can honestly say that the entire time I played Battle Cats, maybe 2.5 years, I spent less than $10, honestly. Okay, less than $10. But every time I did that, I thought, I don't really need this, but I'm enjoying this enough to where I want to give them a little bit of support. So yeah, I'll spend my $2.99, $3.99 here and there. Mm-hmm. But some people don't have that self-control. You know, some people play those farming games, they're hundreds of dollars in.
Yeah.
Hundreds. Or they have like a $50 or $100 allowance a week where they get sucked in hardcore.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, people would bring their computers when I had the shop in, and they'd freak out because they need it back in 2 days so their crops will die.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, not good. And I'll say this, I'm going to propose a new way of doing in-app purchases for games, because this is what I would literally be very willing to do. I play a game that I can play nonstop or once every 10 minutes a day kind of thing and have full capabilities of the game. And then once a month, throw them $1 or $1.50. as a membership, as a subscription kind of price. Give me the first month for free and then I'll pay it. Or, you know, $4 for the game and then...
Yeah, but how many people do play a game for longer than a month?
If you make the game good, they will. Period. And if your game sucks and it's not worthy of being played for more than a week or two, it's your own fault. Period. That's all I'll say. Because to be honest, that's the truth about anything in life. If it's good, you're going to keep using it and you're going to tell other people they should use it. It doesn't matter if it costs $1 a month because people are willing to pay. Look how popular Netflix is. $8 a month.
But wait a minute. I'm not getting it then. So why, if you really liked playing SimCity, you wouldn't do the in-app purchase?
I don't want to pay to just be able to, because what the game expected me to do was to pick certain things to do, leave the game an hour later, come back into the game, collect, just like farming, and then quote unquote plant more stuff in the industries and then quit the game and then come back and then do that for multiple hours on end until I had enough to do B.
I got you. I get what you're saying. I know what you mean. Yeah, it makes sense. Totally.
Yeah, but of course, the game developers whenever do that. But that was SimCity Build It. Okay,
all right.
I am definitely rounding third. This one I had to mention. I kind of can't explain this. Okay, it's called Cryptoy, CRYPTOY. What I really think of this as an educational thing, explaining cryptography and algorithms in a more understandable way. It helps you understand how cryptography works in more of a graphical way. Because I will say, when it comes to encryption in virtually every way, virtually no one normal, quote unquote, understands how it works. We just know we put stuff in, stuff comes out. This tries to educate people on some basic encryption techniques. And I think it's pretty cool. I don't know how much more I actually understand about encryption per se, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I like it. It looks really neat.
Yeah, it looks colorful.
Quite. Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to bring one more here that I really don't know. This is also the kind of app. I remember we had somebody ask us about this kind of question months ago, and I think it had to do with hooking up their Android device either via MHL or mini HDMI out to a TV, and they were worrying about the hertz. How hertz is how the frequency of how often the screen is updated. And when you're using a extra output, it might not match perfectly what your television set is. So this says it can help with that, modulating your frequency. TVHZ, it's by Chainfire. Chainfire is the man. He's the kind of guy who has a history with app development. I will throw money at him. Anything he makes, I will give him money.
Because make it rain
all the time. It's a very simple interface. Basically, you just launch it, and it says application default for 60, 50, 30, 25, 24. Hmm. It gives you the option to set on boot and restart audio where root is required.
Wow.
Simple, to the point, functional application, and Chainfire is giving it away for free, and there is no in-app purchases.
Very cool. It seems like that would come in handy. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, because the two main use cases for this is one, gaming, obviously, at which point it's not very conducive to have the experience on the device, or speed, I should say, rather, different on the device than on the display you're trying to cast and or plug into, whether it's a hardwired connection or you're doing it through like a Chromecast or a Fire or TV stick. The second of which would be almost trying to use your device as a desktop replacement when you do need to take the hertz into consideration when you're talking about animations and such, but also the resolution. Because, I mean, you're talking about a handheld screen versus potentially your 60-inch, plasma screen at home. So I've seen a lot of solutions for locking your device into horizontal mode, a landscape mode, in order to make that a better experience. But I've never seen something take into consideration the refresh rate or the hertz as it's been displayed here. So this is a very cool application to help close that gap.
I agree. Definitely.
Yeah. And that was called... Oh, sorry, Eric.
No, I kind of thought that may have been taken care of by the HDMI or the Chromecast of some sort, somehow. Maybe less important if you're doing it through that, but more important if you were going to do some kind of analog thing. But
yeah,
I guess I don't know nothing about.
Well, think of the cable as simple as a conduit. That's all it is. So what you're putting in at end A is coming out at end B. Now you want to make sure that the sending device at the end of A, the quality of that is going to be received and processed at the same level of quality at the other end.
Yeah. It's better to.
It needs to be either hardware or software based, and getting it to match hardware wise. If it was a standard, you know, like if I had the phone made by whatever company, and I was plugging into the dock made by that company, the cable, whatever, but then that cable was plugging into the display or the TV made by that. Let's just say if it was a Sony phone and a Sony dock and a Sony HDMI cable or any HDMI mono price HDMI cable, and it was plugged into a Sony display, they are able to control the different hops of that chain, the different links, right? But in order to accommodate a larger audience, having the software version of that, in order to say you can use any devices along any of these points of the chain and still have it work, that's a big deal.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, and that was TVHZ. Last app, I would say, some people out there have an addiction to crowdfunding campaigns. This app, then, is definitely for you. It's still fairly new. I think it's maybe 2 weeks old. It's called Indiegogo. You have Kickstarter, you have Indiegogo. Those are the two biggest ones, I'll say. And Indiegogo just announced that if you're doing your campaign for a non-business, I want to say, they will not take any money from you. So they will host your crowdfunding campaign for free. I think, thank thought, that's what I heard. I say I like looking at what people are trying to do. I don't know who I'm going to support in those kind of things. You know what I mean? It's always weird. And I have been looking for that show that Leo Laporte mentioned months ago. No one else has tried it that I can find either, where it's basically they bring on three or four different people doing crowdsourcing campaigns. The very end of the show, they decide which one they vote for, and then they literally donate money towards that campaign. That was an idea that Leo had that I never saw come to fruition that I know of. But I like the idea of it because I like hearing about all the different crowdfunding things going on. And this was a really good interface to discovering all the different kinds of things going on at least Indiegogo. And it's Indiegogo.
Cool. Yeah, I never installed their app. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've never used their app. I've supported a couple campaigns. I'm a little sour on them, actually. I'm still waiting for a $75 product that I helped fund on Indiegogo that never arrived, and they got no support from Indiegogo themselves and trying to make it right.
Damn.
Is it something that they say they shipped out to you, or is it something they still have yet to fulfill as far as their commitment to having it done by a certain date?
Right, yeah, nobody got theirs. There's big complaints about it. It was an Arduino board and a blade for it or whatever that the guy was making. He does give us updates now. It was literally 8 months with no contact at all.
And then, that's scary.
He is giving updates every now and then now, but as far as trying to get any of your money back or canceling your nothing, no, they don't help you at all.
Just send them threats?
Yeah, I tried. I did everything.
That's the best thing to use the internet for. Just send threats.
But, all right, we got to end this baby off. This is too like a long, long show. This might be like an hour long.
It's all my fault. I'm sorry.
It is.
I kept it short, though. My part, anyway.
Let's see what you guys have to say before we end off, starting with Dor.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Cody. Thank you, Steve D. Thank you, Timster. Thank you, Ellis. Thank you, Jose. Thank you, everyone who's ever been on this show. Thank you for everyone who's ever downloaded, anyone who's ever tweeted. Thanks to all the developers that have been on. You guys are awesome.
It sounds like Dor's saying his prayers before he goes to bed. You know, like, thank you.
Yeah, he has it. He has that way too concise and wrapped up. I think he says it to himself in the mirror.
No comment.
Very cool.
I'm gonna get my lollipop and start reading off kids' names. And I see Jennifer
and I Timmy see Tina. And Tony.
Eric, what do you want to say to the folks?
Thanks for sticking with us for over 300 episodes now. That's so cool. We're glad to do it. And more Android users every day, so just let them know about the show. And I hope everybody had a good holiday.
Very cool, man. Cody?
Once again, guys, thank you for having me on this week. It was a blast. I had a huge amount of fun on episode 300. I want to remind everyone, if you want to be entered to win that game stick, send an email to me at cody@podnets.com. That's C-O-D-Y. @podnets.com. In the subject line, it must say AAA 300. If it does not, I won't consider it as much as I would consider others. I'll still read it. But it's not that you won't be eligible. It's just that it's going to stand out and maybe, oh yeah, there was that thing I need to do.
You won't just not be eligible. You'll be hated.
Oh man, I'm just going to forward it back. You ever get those emails? The demon says the email didn't go through. It'll be one of those, but it won't be a demon. It'll be my alter ego, who I'll nickname Damon with the E, because he's pompous. Please have those emails sent in by January 15th. You stand to win a game stick, and you're probably thinking, what can I do with the game stick? Listen to the last two or three episodes. Dor spoke about it. There are several community members who have already gone to GameStop.com, bought some of these, because they're only like 17, 18 bucks now. Full Android plug-in console with controller, Bluetooth controller.
They still have them?
Yeah, well, they're going fast. Last time I checked, it keeps saying low stock available. So by the time you see this, you may not be able to get them. But if you want to win one for free, guaranteed, paid for, on its way to your house, send me an email to cody@podnets.com. Just talking about some of your favorite moments of the last 300 episodes of Android App Addicts, and I will pick one based on how it makes me feel warm inside, or it might be random. You won't know. You'll never know. And that person will get a game stick shipped to them for and in the email, excuse me. I know this is going on a little bit long. Please include your physical mailing address as well.
Very cool.
Yes.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you, Steve.
And sure. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. See you next time.